love it. 6:37 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. Alex Andrade is our state representative for District 2, the southern half of Escambia County, Gulf Breeze, and Pensacola Beach. He joins us now by phone. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
How is life in the most bifurcated district in the House of Representatives in Florida?
It's good. That's a great way to describe it. There are some state representatives in Miami whose whole district is about 8 or 9 blocks. And when I tell them how long it takes me to get from, Perdido Key to Pensacola Beach with the 3 mile bridge being out, they're in shock.
Yeah, it's a sprawling district, even in the best of times. And of course, right now with the bridge out, it is definitely not the best of times. Let's talk about that for just a second. You and Jared Moore did this town hall last week, and you talked about the bridge. And again, just for clarity, it's not on you to make it happen, but you have confidence that FDOT is going to hit its target and the bridge will be open at the end of March based on everything they're telling you, right?
Yes. So Skanska is still out there working every day. They still have 2 subcontractors, Bow Brothers and Scott Bridge, who are very large bridge subcontractors, as big as Skanska for projects like these. And they're working every single day, long hours into the night, driving the pilings that are necessary to complete the bridge repair in that timeline.
All right, very good. And I know, you and I have talked about this before, but I just know that not everybody hears everything we do, and I want to make sure that they heard it from you. And same thing from Sam Abel, same thing from Mayor Robinson, same thing from Doug Broxson. I understand. Again, it's not on you, but you guys keep watching. They keep saying the same thing, and that's all I wanted to clarify. One question, just because based on what you said at the town hall about how there's not going to be a state pot of money to reimburse the businesses who lost because of the bridge being out, which I understood that argument, that that's going to come from legal settlement. There's still that matter of the, I forget what you call it, the retainer fee or the pot of money that was put as the surety money or whatever on the bridge. Would that not be available? Because there had been early conversations about that being a potential reimbursement source.
No. So that's all governed by the contract between DOT and Skanska. So any of that money that would be used for anything in a lawsuit would be going back to the state. When you're talking about contract disputes, neither side is entitled to like a windfall, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You're entitled to the benefit of your bargain, what you expected to get at the end of the contract. So that would not go to third parties. Like businesses. The difference between this issue and BP was there was a federal law in the books governing oil spills, governing what an oil company was responsible to pay out and who they were responsible to in the event of an oil spill. In this case, we don't have the same laws in the books saying that a construction contractor is directly liable by statute to these people and these businesses. So you go back to what the government already has set up in disaster relief and funding. And while we have active programs to help businesses in the event of disasters, there won't be a new program set up for this one disaster.
Okay. And maybe I think a lot of people hearing you say that would think, but maybe we can put that in the contract going forward. It may not help us, but maybe it would help somebody else down the road. God forbid anything like this ever happens. You've got a bill. I like it. It's you're co-sponsoring it with Anthony Sabatini. And as I understand it, this bill would basically tell Nikki Fried to cut it out. That slow walking these concealed carry permits is actually just as much a violation of the law as any local official interfering with gun rights would be. Is that am I reading the bill right?
Yeah, pretty much. So last year, if some people might remember, the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, run by the one statewide Democrat elected official in Florida, Nikki Fried. They stopped processing online applications for concealed weapons licenses, and they stopped running fingerprints for the background checks necessary to get those concealed weapons licenses. And I consider that a change in policy just as much as the local government trying to regulate gun laws that the legislature has preempted to the sole purview of the legislature for years. So I wrote a letter to Nikki Fried's office. I talked with Scott Lunsford's office because it really was a pretextual reason to stop processing concealed weapons licenses. The Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services said their employees didn't have to process fingerprints because it wasn't safe during COVID. But hey, every single county tax collector, you still have to. So it was just a ridiculous argument, coming from the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, and we want to make sure that that never happens going forward.
Yeah, I love it. It's a weird little exemption that a cabinet member can't be held susceptible because, you know, you would think that at the Florida state level, that wouldn't be the problem because preemption. Well, if the person who is at the state level is the one that's causing the problems outside of the purview granted by the legislature, you got to remedy it. So this closes what I would call the agriculture commissioner loophole in the gun permitting process. One of the other things I wanted to ask you. I wanted to ask you, where are we at with drug importation in Florida? I know it's something the governor keeps pushing for. I thought we were already going to have this by now. What's the hang up?
So Florida was at the front end of the nationwide shift in policy. So Florida passed our drug importation bill in 2019, the legislative session, my first legislative session. President Trump actually signed some language in the presence of a lot of Florida House members who flew up to D.C. to participate for the FDA to start allowing for this process. So we're not quite there yet. We still have to wait on the FDA to finalize the program because obviously when you're dealing with imports internationally, a state government can't fully control that process. But once the FDA is ready to go, Florida is going to be one of the first states to participate.
Outstanding. We're talking to Alex Andrade. He is our state representative for District 2, which is the southern half of Escambia County, Gulf Breeze and Pensacola Beach, and Perdido, which, of course, is part of southern half of Escambia County. We'll get to the budget. But before that, we need to get to the big news over the weekend, the allegation that you were involved in a bar fight. Anthony Sabatini, over or not over God knows what. Why did you have a black eye, or so it looked in the picture that Peter Schorsch put online? Can you maybe just, I don't know, clarify?
So I won't be discussing the details of why I have a black eye, but what I will say is I have a good reputation of never not sticking up and being willing to stick my neck out for what's right and always having my friends back, especially when, you have to. No, I won't be discussing how I got the black eye. I'll just leave it at that for now.
I have to assume that means that it's in some way or other, it is a legal matter. Is that a fair inference from what you're saying?
No. Nope, not at all. There's no legal matter ongoing.
Okay.
There's no restaurant in Tallahassee that does not want me to be there. I would never do anything to put myself in a situation to have that occur. I'll never leave another colleague in a bad situation without, being willing to help.
Okay. Well, I can't make you tell, and I won't ask you to tell if you can't tell or won't tell, but it'll suffice it to say, not a bar brawl, and you weren't kicked out of a restaurant, and other than that, that's all we know. Fair?
No, absolutely.
Okay.
I've never been kicked out of a restaurant, no.
All right. Finally, on the budget, the most important thing that's going on, the least amount of time we have to talk about it. To me, the thing that most people are probably the most interested in is per-student spending and teacher pay. So there's other things, and I know that the budget is the beginning and at the end of the process, but can you maybe just for a minute comment on where the budget is with those matters?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first step in the budget process, which I know I've mentioned before, is the one constitutional requirement for the legislature every year. We have to pass a balanced budget. is the governor submits a proposed budget to the legislature for consideration before we start working through budget issues throughout session. And so on education specifically, the governor's proposed, it appears, about $233 more in the base student allocation, how much funding is per student. So his proposal is $8,019 per student, which is $233 more than the current base student allocation. The governor is also requesting $50 million more on top of the $500 million appropriated last year to raise starting teacher pay to $47,500 for starting teachers. We're really going to be focusing this year on preparing our education programs to get current students ready for the jobs of tomorrow and also get current employees who need to be up-trained for the jobs of tomorrow as well. Between the increase in the minimum wage from the constitutional amendment that was passed in November of last year and COVID, we're seeing a dramatic acceleration of automation, and we need to get our employees the resources they need and our students the resources they need to be prepared for a world where more and more automation is occurring. So those are the critical risks that we need to start looking at and start addressing. And I'm excited to be delving into that this year, because as you know, I'll be heavily involved in the education policy coming through the legislature this year.
And by the way, just as a final side note to our conversation, I think you might be trying to set a record. As by my count, you have 19 bills filed so far this year. Is it? Are you going to be able to go 19-0?
No, the vast majority of those are appropriation special projects. We still need funding here in Escambia County, and even during a tight budget year, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure we're bringing as much money home for infrastructure, for water quality, for programs that need to keep going in Escambia County that I can.
All right. Well, it was a pretty long list of things that I was looking through it the other day. We'll talk to you again next week. We're going to do regular updates from Tallahassee with Alex Andrade throughout session at 6:35 on Mondays. Representative, thank you so much for the time, and thanks for doing what you do to represent us in Tallahassee. We appreciate the work.
Thanks, Andrew.